Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What a great day to be here at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We played this morning. Dick Hort was out there along with Mark Mahoney, Kevin Herr, myself. We had a great time today. Everybody played reasonably well. In fact, Kevin, a dramatic improvement over last year's sewer performance. And what?
Listen, anything was a dramatic improvement from last year. I'll say that.
You only walked out three times. Okay? You only walked out three times in disgust with yourself.
Which is a new low for Kevin.
Exactly. That's how we judge it. Some teams judge under par. Hey, we're 12 under. We judge it like eight times.
Yeah. Well, you say I walked out. It's not like I walked off the course and you know, didn't do anything. I just walked off the shot, so I, you know, didn't do anything bad.
To the point that we couldn't find you.
Yeah.
Right? And then after moments of, like, feeling encouraged, he showed up again.
Yeah.
So.
And talking to trees throughout the day.
I hit several of the trees. What are you talking about?
Now, he played well. He did play well today. Right. But there is also a downside to playing a round of golf with him. And the downside is it's like playing around with Sir Nick Faldo, where Nick hits the ball and then analyzes the shot for you. Right. He analyzes every shot
takes. I do. It's the way you improve, is to analyze the shot, look at it, and see what you did wrong. See, the thing is, I know what I did wrong. The problem is I just can't stop it.
Oh, I know how to stop it.
Yeah, there's...
Quit.
If amputation is out of the question, yeah, just stop.
He'll hit a ball and go, I turn my hips around. Dick Hort, I mean, poor Dick. He won't talk to you until the opener.
Well, yeah, actually, we've already talked more today than we have in the entire year since football season ended. So, you know.
Drove him insane. Now, we have a lot that we're going to talk about today. The NFL draft round one is tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about that because it looks now, according to reports, that the Jacksonville Jaguars, what has surprised me during this entire process is that you have not heard a lot of talk about Jacksonville drafting a quarterback. Jacksonville, I have felt from moment one, has needed a quarterback. And now it turns out, voila, guess who's interested in Johnny Manziel?
Well,
Jacksonville, and that Cleveland, if that were to happen, would want Blake Bortles.
And, you know, Jacksonville is still actually an NFL franchise, so I guess they have a good shot as anybody in a real low pick.
Now, if Johnny Manziel gets picked in the first round, he'll be the first quarterback since the common draft started in 1967 to be under 6 feet tall in a first-round pick.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a fun fact.
I may have to look that one up to see if that's accurate.
It's accurate.
I can't believe this.
I know.
I'm not so sure. I'm going to look at
He plays a good round of golf, and all of a sudden he's questioning everybody else.
Okay, Bob, it was kind of on a relative scale.
Yeah. Sorry for the hyperbole, Steve.
Now, he used his chutter five times today.
Four times for legitimate purposes. All right, let's leave. The fifth time was for fun and to prove a point.
Well, and, you know, for those who
it didn't work, but, you know. Yeah.
And for those who don't play golf and don't know what a chutter is what, Steve?
It is a rigged golf club.
It's not a rigged golf club.
Somebody obviously has welded this thing to the shaft of a club.
No. It is called a chutter, all right, because it is a combination chipper putter. That's why it's a chutter.
and it's only outlawed in how many states? That's the question.
Zero. I had it checked.
It's actually legal in Iraq.
It is.
Bagdad golf course use it all the time.
I went to Bar Pagano this morning, and I said to her, I said, listen, we've had this debate about the Chutter. And I said, listen, you've won the women's championship here at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club since they've had the thing. No, she's been like several years in a row. I can't even count as many. So I value her opinion when it comes to golf. And Barb said that was an absolutely legal club as far as she understood. So I'm good with that.
Did you get a lesson?
You saw me play today. What do you think?
I think you blew her off.
She was willing to help.
I see. Speaking of the Purdy golf tournament, I see some of the Purdies on the on the number 9 green in front of us now, absolutely, including Steve Angle from Purdy Insurance, who will I think be joining us as he makes his way through. Are you guys like 4 under now? Is that what it is? Oh, there is no. I don't think so. All I saw is 20 under. If that's the case, we're done.
Kevin had a 20 on number 7.
Yeah, would have been a snow. I mean, hold on. Well, this is a 40-foot putt for Barty. It rolls up. Oh, he should have had it. Just a little bit short. It's got to be distracting to have two guys up at the veranda not only watching, but also commenting as you're making the putt.
Actually, one's doing that. All right. Yesterday was a big, big day for Penn State football. Now, obviously, I can't get into names, but I think anybody who's a Penn State fan understands what I'm talking about. They were able to get a verbal commitment from an offensive tackle and a verbal commitment from a quarterback. I won't take it beyond positions. I won't even tell you states or anything, because I think fans know who I'm talking about. Of the 15 players Penn State has recruited, 10 of the 15 are in the 4-star range. They have gone and attacked this. Now, Penn State has some things to offer right now, with a dynamic, energetic coaching staff, obviously a dynamic, energetic stadium atmosphere. You're playing in a conference where you can absolutely make a move, and you have competition now in the same division with Ohio State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Maryland, and so forth. Academically, a lot to offer as well. But there also is something else that they can offer at this particular time that's very important, I think, to younger players. Because of the sanctions and because of the lack of depth in certain spots, they can offer playing time. And that's a big part of this. They can offer playing time. And it's something that's been important to them, and they've done a great job of getting regional coaches involved and also getting, obviously, getting position coaches involved in the recruitment of these players. They've done extremely well. And to get 15, I think, by my calculations, they can eventually, if they want, if everything stays status quo, to 20. But if the sanctions were relieved completely, which the door, I think, is still open to that, then they could go to the full 25.
So. Before he gets to the back nine, Steve Angle from Purdy Insurance joining us here is also not only Purdy Insurance, a Monday sponsor here of the Steve Jones Show, but also part of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament and one of the organizers. Steve, I know when we were talking a couple of days ago, you were looking at, you know, I'm trying to do an interview here. Can you please quit distracting the man so I can do an interview? I know a couple of days ago you and I were talking, you said the afternoon was completely full, and by the looks of it, the fact that there were no places to park in the afternoon, and their carts were taking up the whole front of the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, it definitely was filled. How did the morning flight go, and what has the response been for the tournament here this year?
Response has been fantastic, as usual. The sponsors have gone out of their way to provide the support needed for the YMCA. I think we had 12 or 13 teams this morning, and 32 or 33 this afternoon, which is probably as many, if not more, than we've had in prior years.
That's outstanding.
We've also had businesses that couldn't come up with golfers, but they sponsored a team anyways. So we were grateful for the money that they provided, and you guys, we certainly always enjoy having you guys here promoting the tournament, and the Purdy family, YMCA people, are truly grateful for all your help.
Well, we'll talk with Bonnie Wasser when she makes her way around the ninth green here in just a few minutes and talk a little bit about what this money goes to. But talk about some of the other people on your committee that have helped make this possible today and get those funds available for the YMCA to use.
Sure. Adam Purdy, one of Truman's grandsons, is the chairman of the committee, and he's worked extremely hard this year. Of course, I am in the office as well, and I try to support him. And then from the Y, we had Bonnie Wasmer, of course, the CEO, and Ronnie Marshall, who is the executive director in the Milton branch, who was in charge of all the volunteers this year, and I think did a fantastic job. I think we've had more volunteers this year than ever. A couple other members have been Tom Mertz from Sunbury Motors, Hank Truslow from Sunbury Textile Mills. There's a couple other people from the Y. Carol Slear from Nottingham has been instrumental. So just a really good group of people that have done a fantastic job of putting this thing together.
And the par threes, ton of hole-in-one prizes there to choose from. Plus, you also had Kiss Def Leppard concert tickets that you're raffling off, a bunch of things in a silent auction, including a membership here at the Country Club, just to name a few, with some autographed items as well that Steve's going to put a bid on for me because he knows how much I love autographed items and refuses to give me any. And, of course, you know, lots of other great things along the way, including rounds at Eagles Mare for the players. So the players not only contribute some money toward the tournament, but there's also a lot of money that comes back to them as well in prizes.
Yeah, we try to do something new every year. And, again, through some sponsorships, we're able to get concert tickets and the autographed items. We also have expanded our silent auction to not just have large packages that require a great deal of money, but some smaller packages that people can bid on. So we tried to enhance that a little bit. And again, all of the money goes to support children's programs at the Y, and that's what it's all about.
Steve, thanks a lot. I know you said you were 20 under. I don't buy it for a minute. I know that was a par putt here on 9. Listen, we were 3 over. Do we stand a snowball's chance at anything here?
You know, there is always there's always the fourth flight. And
that's where we live.
And somebody's got to be there, you know?
That's where we live, in the fourth flight. That's right.
Thanks again for all you guys do.
Hey,
appreciate
thank
it.
You. Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks again.
Thanks so much, Steve. All right, we're at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. And it's clouded up a little bit here, but Bob Buhner's here. I'm here. Mahone's here. Kyle's here.
Kyle's birthday today, by the way.
Kyle, happy birthday.
I twisted his arm into field producing for us today, so thank you.
And Kevin's here.
I am.
Yes, he is. Yes, fresh off a round of 18 holes at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club.
Absolutely. And once again, the MVP of the tournament, the course superintendent. All right, so...
anyway,
we got a couple of minutes before the news.
Yeah, you know, it's always a lot of fun for me with the draft coming up and the philosophy of sports. Considering Kevin was showing me his certificate before from the Flat Earth Society, and so
he was immediate past president, mind you.
You know, back in the 1860s, they didn't play charity golf tournaments.
At some of your clubs, they remain in the 1860s.
We're kind of breaking tradition here. You know, yeah. I know that this can't be good for you to do this.
No,
I played well today. Nothing you can say can change that.
Well, it's a relative.
It's a relative term. There are a lot of flyers out there. Yeah. I can tell you that. There's a lot of muttering, right? And the one injury.
We won't get into the injury. I did not hit a railing. I came close to a repeat performance.
Yeah, and this year you didn't go to the emergency room, thank goodness.
No, there was no trip to the ER. Yeah. But coming up after the news, we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL Draft. Bonnie Wasper from the YMCA joining us as she makes her way around the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, and I'm sure Steve Jones will have some more stories.
Look, don't make it seem like you played like Nicklaus.
Okay? Yeah, come on.
Hey, let's get real here.
This isn't the Legends of Golf.
Listen, this is radio. No one saw the way I played today.
No, and unfortunately for you, I witnessed the whole stinking thing. So did Mahoney.
All of a sudden, you have a conscience.
Even he's shaking his head.
Oh, brother.
He's about the nicest guy in the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
Oh, brother.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we're at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club on the Wednesday, the first Wednesday of May, which has traditionally been the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, the morning flight. The weather couldn't have been any better. The course in outstanding shape. We had a blast this morning. Dick Hort, Mark Mahoney, Kevin Herr, myself. Enjoyed being here, and we'll be talking with Bonnie Wasmer a little bit later in the show. For the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, they are the beneficiaries of this golf tournament here today and a very important event in the Valley. They like to have it the first weekend of May because they like to have it be the first major golf tournament fundraiser in the area every year. And it's our pleasure to be here every year for it at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Great layout. A little bit chillier here in the afternoon.
Yeah, changed?
Winds picked up about 15 to 20 miles per hour. Flags are starched on the greens, and we'll see how things play out as the day goes. It's going to get really warm, though, the rest of the week. 70s, low 80s, and Friday.
It was good for Kevin to get out here awfully early and mow all the greens for everybody today.
I'm just thinking it should be really interesting coming up 9, hitting into that strong wind. Is that the $1,000 hole-in-one hole?
No.
Or the $10,000, rather.
$10,000 hole is the par 3 over the creek.
That's right. That's right. That's number 3.
I stepped up and I said they could have made it $2 billion.
Yeah.
Could have made it.
Felt secure.
Could have made it the national debt.
$10,000 if you hit the par 3 hole in one. And let's see. I was short and to the right. Coach Hort was in the water. Mark Mahoney was long and to the left. And Steve, we ended up using your shot on the side of the hill on next to 11 and 15. It was really nice of all the people to wave and honk as we were hitting our shot through the through that spot there.
That was hole high. That's how we used it.
No, I'm not. That was the shot.
We used it because we were hole high. And I said to Mark, I said the difference between my shot and using your shot is that if we used his shot, we'd be coming downhill dramatically.
We would have landed in the creek with the putt.
I don't think we could have. We really had a shot at. That's why we used mine. So at least we're going uphill.
Well, you know, it's good because most years, Steve, you have to go out on routes 11 and 15 and stop traffic so Kevin can play the second shot.
That did not happen. I was well short of not only the green but also the highway. So it was safe traveling on 11 and 15, and we did not have to send out any news alerts.
He's also well short of the red tees. Yeah. All right, so.
I was not short of the red tees.
Hey, Steve, you were talking before the break about
Penn State.
That little Penn State. And some signings of a big guy and a fast guy.
The verbals.
They're verbals.
And all this won't happen. It can't be official until the first Wednesday in February. But I want to make sure people that it's not just a stereotype of James Franklin that, quote, he's a great recruiter. If you're around him, which I have the privilege of being around him and watch him work, he's a great coach as well. And that's the part that will be exciting for Penn State fans is not only the ability of him to recruit this kind of talent, but also his ability along with his staff to coach this kind of talent. They know what they're doing. They have a game plan in place. Now, before we get out of control with expectations about 2014, Penn State's problem in 2014 is directly going to be related to the sanctions, where they have some really good talent in some spots, but not a depth of talent across the board, which is what the sanctions were designed to do. They were designed to strip Penn State of its depth, and Penn State was stripped of its depth in a couple of areas, and one of the areas it was stripped of its depth was the offensive line. And that's something where Herb Hand is going to earn every dime he gets this year, and so will John Donovan and his play calling as to what they do with that. There were moments in the spring the offensive line played really well. There are moments early on where they struggled a bit. But Christian Hackenberg, who's without question the single most talented quarterback in the Big Ten, he's going to have his work cut out for him. I mean, you may be the single most talented quarterback in the Big Ten, but if you don't have total and complete protection all the time to make some of these plays, he can't take full advantage of what he can do. So it's a football team that has talent, but not a depth of talent, an overabundance of talent. And this is where playing at home, when James Franklin's going around in the caravan now, and I'll join him in Scranton next week for this, is that selling out that stadium is going to be so important for Penn State to maybe give them that additional boost of 5, 6, 7 points. And that's one of the things that he is doing on the trail right now. He's emphasizing to people, be a part of what's going on and sell the place out. Because it is easy, for example, to walk into a stadium and, you know, you're 11-0, you're fighting for that 12th win, you're trying to get to the conference championship game and so forth. It's another thing when you're trying to fight through what Penn State's been fighting through. The fans have been unbelievable throughout this entire process. Now if they can sell it out, I think it would make a big difference of what many people think that, in terms of the sanctions, is the bottoming out year.
Steve, you were talking about last couple of weeks, the offensive line. How much of the recruiting focus for Penn State has been on the offensive line for 2015?
Some. I mean, there's certainly parts of this where they've been able to get enough offensive linemen, and they're not done there yet with offensive linemen. But there's not an overabundance because you are trying to build a football team. I mean, there's certain guys that are offensive linemen that are coming in this current class. For example, Chaz Wright participated in spring practice, which was a plus for him, you know. But he also looked like an 18-year-old kid that, you know, just out of high school and so forth.
Because that's what he is, actually.
Right, exactly. So that's where he is. You know, and there'll be a couple of others that'll come in the class, in the upcoming class. But this is not one of those, like, hey, let's go out and get 20 offensive linemen. You're still looking to get a positional balance on the football team that you need. That's why there are a couple of running backs in this class. That's why now there's a quarterback in this class. That's why they've been able to, you know, restock. Actually, one of the areas of need was restocking at linebacker, which is they've been doing that in the class that they're working on now that will be signed in February. So you're trying to really balance out what you get. Getting the additional 5 scholarships back in August, if that were to happen, would be important because, again, you're trying to add to the depth of the team to go with how young you are in some spots to begin with.
You mentioned quarterback, and that was one of the things I was going to ask. I know there's been a couple of quarterbacks for 2014, 2015 as well that signed. How much of that is building for the future, as in quarterbacks, and how much of that is, well, we're not sure if Hackenberg is going to be here for all 4 years, so we need to make sure we're prepared. Have they recruited differently than they would have if they're guaranteed a four-year player?
No, because they know they're, well, they have a minimum of 3 based on the rules, so they know they have them for 2 years. Michael O'Connor came in. They did not. They weren't the ones that initially recruited Michael O'Connor. Bill O'Brien did. And Michael O'Connor has very good footwork. He has a very strong arm. But at the same time, he needs to find more of the chess pieces on the field. But that, again, he's just out of IMG, and it's all going 1,000 miles per hour for him. They recruited a quarterback that they signed that they personally liked a lot in February, and now this one. When he was at, every coach has their own idea of what positional balance means. Bill O'Brien felt he needed more defensive backs and wanted to keep the offensive line group down to about 12. That's where he wanted to keep it. Because that, you know, that's more of an NFL model. Take, you know, and he also wanted to keep the quarterback thing really down to 2 with some walk-ons, which is where they are. Well, at Vanderbilt, for example, James Franklin had 5 quarterbacks on scholarship. Okay. Everybody has their own idea of positional balance of what they want. And so his is a little bit different than Bill O'Brien's. But Bill O'Brien also had his hands tied so much you really didn't get a total feel for how he feels about positional balance, because he was trying to pare the roster back to 65 so that they were ready to go with 65 players for this particular season before there were any rollbacks. So Bill was behind the eight ball from day one in terms of how he wanted to build a football team.
Steve, one of the things we've counted so far is 15 verbal commitments for the class of 2015. Yeah. Going back historically, is that a high number for May of year before?
It's a high number for now. It's not unprecedented. Maybe not 15, but I've seen as many as 10 to a dozen that have committed early. It just all depends on who you work with at a particular time and how anxious they are to be a part of what you want to do. And if they want to commit early, fine. Also, what helps you in early commitments is if you have a lot of numbers to give. And Penn State, of course, is coming off 25 in the previous class that they were allowed to do. It was only going to be 15. And remember, the Hackenberg class was, what, a dozen? I mean,
yeah.
Just a dozen guys because of the sanctions. Well, now they know that they can give out 20. Well, when you roll through a year where you have, I've seen Penn State have as few as 10 or 11. Like 11, I think, was the fewest I can remember. And people saying it's taking forever. There's a reason for that. It'll take longer to recruit guys when you have fewer numbers to give. Reason being is that you're choosier, because there are certain individuals that are going to hold out till the end that you're fighting to get, like all the other major programs. So it takes longer. You say, why do they only have 4 verbal commitments? Well, part of the reason happens to be that you're looking at losing.
No, we've already lost because our round's in.
But when you have more numbers to give out, you can get more early commitments,
and that's
what happens. When you have more numbers, you can get more early commits, and that's what they've been able to do.
It also seems like James Franklin is the closer, to come up with a name for a TV show, but
yeah,
he really is a closer.
He relates to everybody.
He's dynamic. When you hear him speak, and we talked about this on the course today, and Coach Hort mentioned this. You know, when you heard him speak for the first time, being introduced as the head coach, not only did he say all the right things, but he said it in the right way and the right mannerisms and the tone, and in listening to him that particular afternoon, if you were not excited about the program, there was something seriously wrong and you weren't a fan in the first place.
Well, and he does that, but he also, the underrated part that nobody ever talks about are the players. The players are great recruiters. Christian Hackenberg in particular is a great recruiter. And your best, when your program is rolling, your best recruiters are your players.
Sure.
Because what happens is that you get put into, quote, a peer group when you're on campus. And when you're in that peer group, they will tell you, okay, this is great, that's not so great, this is great, that's not so great. And they'll, you know, because, and they'll get a feel from you as to how you feel about the deal, and especially when it's a new coaching staff. So you have 10 coaches, James Franklin and 9 assistants, all on the same page, but you also have players. Remember, this is a team of veterans. Well, when James Franklin gets up and looks at the group in the auditorium, he knows that they all want to be there. Why? Because they all had the ability to leave and not have to sit out a year. They all chose to stay at Penn State. No other coach in the country can look at his auditorium and realize that his players with a choice chose there for the right reasons. Time to take a break. We're at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, which Kevin carved to its knees today.
No, I replaced all the grass that I took out.
Yeah. He sliced and diced this course.
He only walked off. You know what he puts? I can't believe it. The ball was flying away. I don't understand.
No, I either pulled it or pushed it today.
I pushed it.
Apparently, straight is not in the vocabulary.
Oh, jeez. I wish some of the vocabulary included the Our Father. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Her philosophy of life was explained to us during the break. It's really, in the end, all about him and what he can get.
Yeah, well, then, does that surprise you? I mean, come on.
Right now.
Well, listen.
You need to get yourself a golf game.
Richard Sherman got a great deal, $57.4 million, $40 million of that in guaranteed money. I mean, you know, that's a pretty good gimme there for him.
Did you look up my stat?
Which stat?
That there's been no first-round quarterback since the common draft started in 1967.
I trust you.
That was drafted in the first round. That was under 6 feet.
Until possibly this
tomorrow
year.
Tomorrow night.
Well, you know, this is one of the things we were talking about yesterday. We were talking about the Steelers' first round, maybe second round draft pick, and maybe moving down or picking at 22. Or I'm sorry, picking at 15. But the Eagles pick at 22. And Merrill Reese told us on the program last week that he felt, as many people do, that the Eagles will go wide receiver in the first round.
Yep.
Even if they think they can get a wide receiver maybe in the second round, they'll still go wide receiver in the first round. The only thing is, how many wide receivers historically, let's say in the last 10 years, have really become an impact player in the first year coming out of that first round? Is it the wrong way to go to take a wide receiver in the first round?
If you need one.
But let me follow that up. If you need an impact player now at wide receiver, are they waiting for the draft? Can they get it in the draft, or should they have done more, say, in free agency? I don't know how much more they could have done. I'm just saying.
That depends on who's out there.
I mean, do the Eagles need a wide receiver coming out of this draft that can play today?
Yes, they do.
And can they find that?
Yes, they can. There's a very deep wide receiver draft.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you need. All right? What you need determines whether or not you have to go in that direction. If I don't need a wide receiver, Kevin, I'm not going to go get a wide receiver. I'm going to take a defensive end. Okay, if I need a defensive end. It's all based on need, and it doesn't really matter historically whether or not this happens.
Yeah.
Historically, Jerry Rice was a first-round pick at 21. Historically.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't really matter so much to me as to where you're going to be. Akeem Nicks ended up being a good pick for the Giants, who was a first-round pick. But then you get a free agent like Victor Cruz.
And doesn't...
Yeah,
so
it just depends.
Doesn't it also go with the coach's philosophy? The Eagles are offensive-minded under Chip.
Yeah.
He likes to put up points. He likes to really outscore the opposition. And so he's looking for offensive-minded players.
Right. There's certain basic needs that you have to have. I mean, you have 22 chess pieces on the field. You need a quarterback. You need a rush end, a shutdown corner, a left tackle, and probably a middle linebacker. Those are your five priorities to start with. The other parts you fit in after that. Well, the Eagles are in pretty good shape in almost all of those areas. Ryan's is okay in the middle. Okay, Barwin's not bad on the outside to give you some pressure. Eagles' corners, while not being shutdowns, are good enough. Quarterback is Foles. You know, I'd like to give it one more year to see how defensive coordinators adapt to him. And it turns out if they don't, then you've got yourself that winner at that spot for a long time. You can then fill in after that. They've re-signed Cooper. They re-signed Macklin. So, you know, but they need one more guy to stretch the field because they did not get rid of DeSean Jackson without the idea that they had somebody in mind to draft in that first round.
Yeah.
And I don't really care historically about, you know, who's been an impact player in the first round, who's been, who hasn't been. Because historically, a quarterback, you've had John Elway in round one and Tom Brady in round six and Bart Starr in 17. So, historically,
the thing about the NFL is
no offense, you can overthink things.
and historically, there's a new chapter written every year. It's called the current year NFL draft.
Exactly. It all goes with what is this year and the talent that's available. What makes this unusual in terms of this particular year is the fact that there's no definitive number one. There's no guy that you look at and say is a surefire. He gets in the league, he's going to be awesome. I think every guy that they bring to the table this year with a card is going to have a question.
Sure. I think there are three receivers that could be an impact player, and I think the first year, and I think they're all going to go probably by the pick 15.
Well, that could be. I'm waiting for a guy.
That would be what, Watkins, Beckham, and Evans.
Correct.
And I'm waiting to hear about a guy that wore number 8 in the blue and white whose name Steve called.
Second round pick.
And he's a good one.
Yeah. And the reason he'll be a good one is that, as I've pointed out several times on the show, Bill played him at all three spots.
He's all over the field.
And because he learned in a pro-style offense all three spots,